Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today of episode 48 is Christy McKenna, who, frankly, has a little bit of magic that she's going to share with us today. Christy, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be on.
Give us a quick, brief introduction about yourself, and then let's get straight to it.
Yeah, so my name's Christy McKenna. I am originally from Cleveland, Ohio. But I have lived in several different places, so that one of those being Orlando, Florida, Orange County, California, and now I'm back in the Cleveland area chatting with you guys. Been working in social media marketing and just video production for a number of years for a bunch of different companies, but specifically the Disney company, which I think we're going to be touching on a little bit today.
Yeah, so I'm really intrigued because, Christy, if you happen to stumble upon her social media, which happily you can definitely could check out after this episode, you would notice that she has a lot of involvement with Disney. And in case you didn't put it together with Orange and with Orlando, then now it's right in front of you. So, Christy, just take us all the way back. How did you begin getting involved with Disney before you even were working with them full time?
Yeah, so I was going to Kent State University at the time. And honestly, I was like, this college experience, I don't know if it's for me. And so I applied to something called the Disney College Program, which is basically an opportunity where you can move to Florida, work for Disney, and also get school credit. So I applied. At that time, it was pretty hard to get into. Now times have changed since COVID and everything. So I moved down, worked for Disney, loved it.
In Orlando.
At that time, got sent home because of COVID, actually. So I came back to Cleveland, and that's really during COVID and the pandemic. I was just like, I want to move. I want to work for the company. So I made the big move officially to live in Florida and work for Disney. So once the parks reopened, I was just kind of part of the main team that you would see walking through the parks. So in Magic Kingdom, I was that person like checking you out at the checkout counter. And then on the side as well, I was like working four jobs, just trying to really work it up in the social media department. And eventually someone came through my checkout line, and every single time it was someone who worked for the company, I would say, where do you work? Like, I want to know more about what you do. And so she said, I work for the social media department. And I'm like, oh my gosh, can you write down your name and number? Like, I'd love to connect with you. Yeah. And so she did. And I connected with her. I followed up with her. I met her for coffee. And then eventually, a few months later, a job posting came up. And I applied. And then there were like five rounds of interviews for this social media coordinator position, which is basically working for Disney Parks TikTok channel. So the at Disney Parks logo, or not logo, but username, I guess.
Yeah.
And so there were like these five rounds of interviews, and it just took a while, but eventually I got the position. And I would really say that through networking is really how I was able to like achieve that, almost not only like the hard work that I was also doing along with it, but definitely connecting with other people really helped with that.
Yeah, that's incredible, right?
Yeah.
And so she knew right off the bat too that you were willing to put yourself out there, right? This woman who came through your checkout line that worked for the social media part knew right away that you were like, hey, like, oh, this girl's on it. Like, she's willing to put herself out there, and she's making the means to make sure that she could do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
You, right? So that's really incredible how right place, right time, right?
Oh,
people
for
always say
sure.
But you have to be willing to capitalize on that too.
Yeah, I would say that's like the number. I don't think I've gotten one job without networking.
Sure.
Like,
especially in that world.
Like, everyone knows everyone. If you have stellar content, like, that's amazing that you can do that. But I think networking is like number one when it comes to like finding your dream job, dream role.
Amen. Yeah. So
yeah.
Kind of take it back a little bit, Christy. What do you do as part of the college program there?
Yeah.
The work part of it.
So basically, you have a list of roles that you could possibly get. So you could be attractions. You could be in merchandising. You could be at the Bippity Boppity Boutique, maybe like dressing up little girls. So there's a bunch of different opportunities there. And it's just really to get your head in the door with the company more than anything, which is what it gave me the opportunity to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was it during that experience that captivated you to say, okay, I'm going to go back and like, I'm ready to drop it all, leave Ohio, head down to Florida and live there?
Yeah. I mean, thing, right? I would definitely say that I've always been a Disney fan. Like, even if you haven't been to the parks, like grew up going to the parks. And I would just say that the environment at Disney is totally different environment that you would ever work in traditionally. Like, you just interact with people who are very happy to be there. People like save their whole entire life to go to these theme parks,
right,
and to
right.
be part of like the magic. Like, I don't know, it really like took me in, and I really loved it along with the people that I met there. I really felt like at that company, I like met my people. Like, I can be a little nerdy, and like, I just like love anything like that. And especially in the college experience, what I wasn't getting was those friendships. I felt really like not part of that. And when I went to, I don't know, this program, I like really found myself, I guess you could
sure.
say.
Yeah. That's really incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. So then back it up. So now we're back talking to this woman, you meet with her, and then how does it transition to you're working for them full time?
Yeah. Yeah. So basically I was just applying, talked to a bunch of different people through all these interviews. And after each interview, I would make a video for them, basically.
Okay.
A custom video after each interview round. I would send it to them. They would sometimes reply, they would sometimes not. I'd be like, well, I didn't get the job, whatever. But eventually I got to the final round, was talking to the VP of communications at Disney, which is right under, you know, the VP of like Walt Disney World. So he was very high up. It's very intimidating experience. But he's great, and we just had a great conversation. I eventually got the role, which was a really big deal. And so, yeah, and then I just started working for them. And right off the bat, they kind of throw you right in and say, you know, give us ideas, give us a creative vision. Like, you are representing the Disney parks at that point when you're one of six people managing the whole entire America account, basically, for Disney on TikTok. So, and that was really when TikTok was up and coming and like really the hot new thing. So it was really cool to be a part of that.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So were you making videos day in, day out kind of thing?
Yeah. So my whole entire role was come up with a concept, go out and shoot it, whether that be with like celebrities, whether that be with other cast members, and then come home and edit it and send it out. So I wasn't actually physically posting anything. My main job was to create.
Okay.
So it was really like creative experience, and they were very open to, you know, taking in ideas. As Disney, I think like there's that whole stereotype of like Disney adults, you know. I definitely am one, but I try not to be like a choogy, like weird Disney
sure.
adult.
Yeah, you like try and like hide it a little
but
bit.
But we tried to make like Disney cool in a way, and like trendy and fun and not so corporate, was always our goal.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific video that comes to mind that totally blew up for you?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm sure like Disney garners a heck of a following to begin
yeah,
with, but...
so they have such a loyal following.
Yeah.
But our goal was always to reach out to people who maybe don't follow the account and are like, oh my gosh, wait, this is such a cool video, let me share it, whatever. But I would say one of my favorite videos that comes to mind right away, like I was able to work with a lot of cool celebrities, like Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things. I don't know, that he was really cool. Paris Hilton, people like that. It was just really cool to interact with. Patrick Mahomes after the Super Bowl, I was able to kind of go around with him in Disneyland and just film him and his family.
So cool.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
But my favorite video that I ever did was I found this like older man walking around Disney parks one time, and he was
from
like, So he looked okay. like the Up guy, but he worked at Disney. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to write down this guy's name. Like, I could totally do a video with him.
Yeah.
And so I told like my leader at the time, and we found out his information. And little did I know that he had like this whole reputation, like in the like Disney community, of being like the Up guy.
Oh, no way.
And I was like, oh my gosh. So we ended up doing like this whole video with him. He created this whole program for cast members. It was called like the Grape Soda Pins. Basically, you'd get a grape soda if you did something really cool at the parks or really good for a customer or a guest. And so I did this whole video with him, and it did really well on social, but not only, it also like cured my heart a little bit. So it was just a really cool video with this older man. So.
That's cute. Yeah, we're going to tag that in the comments below. So if you want to go see the Up person too, then please let me know. All right. So you're creating content for them. You're interacting with all these celebrities too.
Yeah.
What's the end game? How are you seeing yourself develop? Where is it going to go from here?
Yeah. So I would have absolutely loved to stay in the role that I was in.
Okay.
So I was in Florida at the time, but unfortunately the role that I was in was contracted. So we only had a year within that role. So I was really trying to soak up that time that
That's a lot
had.
You did within a year.
Yeah. That's and I ended up staying with that role a little bit longer than expected, because I did end up staying in their video team. So it was like video services communications still, but it was more like the hefty cameras, which I was a little intimidated with that first, but it was a cool new experience to learn. So I was in Florida. I moved to California to work on this video production side with Disney. So now I was in Disneyland. I'd never been there before. I'd always wanted to move to California. It was a really cool journey. So I was working more with like the CEOs, executives of Disney parks, and just people who have been with the company for so long. And it was just really cool to see that side behind the scenes of everything, even in the coordinator role. You just saw things behind the scenes a lot, and it was very different than being like a guest or like seeing it from the outside.
Wow, that's so wild. And not many people, of course, have gotten that experience. Which do you prefer, Christy? Do you prefer Disney World or Disneyland?
I honestly prefer Disneyland, even though I didn't grow up going there. I think it's just such a cool park. It's the first Disney park as well. So Walt Disney himself obviously built it. And it's just, I don't know, it has this type of charm there as well. And I think it's more locals, I guess you could say, than Disney World is very much like people travel to go there. But Disneyland, I feel, has more of a homey vibe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. I always wondered, like, what was the big difference between the two?
Yeah.
Right? And I knew Disneyland was older.
Yeah.
Kind of like the original, but I didn't know what like the right. So what are the differences? Like why two?
Yeah. So Disney World is huge. So Disney World in Florida, you're going to go, there's going to be four theme parks. There's water parks. There's so many resorts. Like you could just spend a whole entire day going to the resorts there and like hopping around, having those experiences. But Disneyland is two parks. It's so small. You can walk out of the park and go to a McDonald's. Like it's just a totally different experience. And I love Disney World, but it's a little too big at times. Like I like the hometown feel of Disneyland, and the castle is like puny at Disneyland in California, whereas Disney World in Florida, it's like huge and massive. There's a whole restaurant in there. So a lot of differences, and they definitely upped their game at Disney World, but I still love the California parks.
No doubt.
So
what was or is or has been your favorite perk of working for Disney?
I mean, I would definitely say the tickets.
Okay, yeah, so getting up.
Yeah, so I definitely say like going into the parks, just being able to go whenever you want. But obviously you also live in Orlando, so maybe I'd have like a admission anyways. But I'd say like this may sound cheesy, but like one of the biggest perks was like the people there. Like that's the awesome people that I worked with, I met my best friends while working at Disney. Like my best friend lives in California still. Like we're long distance besties. We actually have a podcast. Like, so it was really cool. And I made friendships that I know are like loyal and like amazing people and just have like just a passionate soul. I would say that was like the biggest perk from my time.
That's tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, Christy, there's kind of two sides to Disney, right? There's the side that like everyone talks about that people love and like people dive in and the Disney adults, right? But then on the opposite side of it, I feel like there's a bunch of maybe cynics, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who, now you've worked on the inside, right? And like before your blood boils, like what would you say to individuals who, not the ones that are already sold on the Disney, I guess, dream, for lack of a better word, but to those who are maybe naysayers, who think they're price gouging, maybe have more of a negative perception of what Disney is?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get like, it's so expensive nowadays. And like, I'm not even like, I agree with you. Like, I get it. But I would say, first of all, like, know a little bit more about the parks. Like, I think a lot of people say things about Disney that are actually universal. Like, I'll hear a lot of people say things like about certain things that they think Disney is doing, but I'm like, no, that's actually universal, that's not Disney, but I just don't say anything. But I would say that I think you should go like and experience the parks at least like once in your life. I know it's a lot, but it's just, I don't know, there's something about it, I think, to just experience the magic per se, and just like, I don't know, there's that childhood part of you that like comes out whether you're watching a Disney movie or actually going to the parks. And I think ultimately nobody likes to admit it, but we all love Disney to some degree.
Sure.
And I think that people just like to harp on what other people really enjoy and love. And I think we could all do that about a lot of things. Like I could do that about, you know, whatever, sports fans or wrestling fans or whatever it is. But I think that we should all just love what we love. So I think more people should be accepting of that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Because it's that idea of, right, tearing down people to be at the same level kind of thing, which doesn't work.
Yeah. I suppose. But I think a lot of people who just like, just whatever. Like, you have to just like, yeah, be like, whatever. I'm just going to, like, even starting my personal account, like, I started posting a lot of Disney stuff because I'm working there. Like, that's kind of my life. I'm always going to the parks. I'm sure a lot of like hometown, like high school people probably unfollowed me or something, right, you know, because it's like, I feel like some people are like, oh, it's cringy maybe or something. But again, I always try to do it to a tasteful degree.
Yeah, everyone's got their thing though, right? I mean, that's part
100%,
of it.
100%. Yeah.
So inside Disney, then, what's your sell for the people, the higher ups there, the people that are making decisions for Disney?
Yeah.
Give us an in on who these people are.
Yeah, so they're really great people. I mean, I think that they're looking at everything for the future. Like, I think a lot of people criticize, like, the new way that Disney is doing everything. And they're like, oh, well, the original makers of the parks, like, wouldn't have done things this way. But ultimately, I think Disney is always growing and, like, learning and, like, transforming its ways to be more, I don't know, futuristic. But also, I mean, the pricing now and everything is crazy. But I mean, the people that I worked with in the creative department are just so like creative, I guess you could say. And like working with Imagineers and just being able to see the behind the scenes of how their mind works and just the dedication that goes into absolutely every single detail is incredible. Like, you don't even expect to see, I don't know, just the detail of everything. I know that's a bad description, but I don't know. They just think about every single little thing. And you don't see that at a Cedar Point or another type of theme park. You just don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to interact or have interactions with people who work on the production team for, say, like the films and like that aspect of it too? Or are those totally different?
Yeah. So I would say that the video department was very executive level, so yeah. CEO. So I was more working with them on like a, okay, come, let me film you, okay, bye. Because they were so high up that I almost didn't get a full interaction with them. But definitely on the social side, like interacting with the celebrities was very different because I was literally going into an attraction, into like a Ferris wheel or something with a celebrity, and it's just me and them talking with like a lob or something. Mm-hmm. And so it was very interesting to see how people interacted in real life, and they're just normal people, you
absolutely,
know?
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's just, same you're level. Like, wow, I've seen you on TV. This is so weird. I can't fangirl right now. And that's part of the reason they put me on the Patrick Mahomes shoot, because they're like, oh, Christy doesn't know this man. She won't fangirl. So, but now, you know, he's associated with Taylor Swift, so yeah, I have so a different mindset now.
Yeah, you're like, I knew this man before he was, yeah.
Right.
Because part of where I'm asking, and I think you kind of alluded to it a little bit, is I think there's a scrutiny of Disney within maybe the last 5 years, particularly though on the movie front, or maybe the screenplays that are being put out by Disney. So that was in part where I was coming from with the questioning of like who these people are on the inside, because when you only see a finished project, it's easy to blanket label something, right? As opposed to like knowing, like if you've seen the nitty gritty of what's going on. So I was kind of curious, like, where you're seeing what you see from your perspective with that, because it's
I mean
part of the naysaying and those that are like all about it, so
yeah, so like it's Disney, so yeah,
before you start, let me preface where I'm coming from. The angle that I'm taking is that I think the argument is that Disney is exposing children to things that maybe a lot of parents are like, why does this have to be in a movie for my five-year-old?
Oh yeah.
I think that's the shift that you're seeing over the last 5 years. Call it 5 years.
Yeah.
And that was kind of where I've come from with that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, Disney is definitely trying to be very, like, progressive in all of their thinking. But in a weird way, some of it isn't progressive because, like, with some of the films and such, like, they're redoing original makings and such like that, which isn't as in the creative realm, I think a lot of people could say. But I think... Sorry, this one's a hard one to answer. But a lot of the executives that I worked with, like the approval process is really tough because I would say that like 70% of the videos that I produced probably didn't even hit the TikTok platform.
Wow.
So a lot of the videos I actually made and produced and created just didn't even, you know, get out there, which is totally fine. And I definitely see where they come from on a lot of things because they have to be so particular. I mean, our audience at the time was, I think, like 5 million. And now I think they're at, I don't know, like 10, 11 million on that, wow, on the TikTok page. So it's going out to a lot of people. And if we do one little thing wrong, it could jeopardize a lot of the company, especially since you have so many eyes and people are so nitpicky on every single little thing. So I don't know. The people that I worked with within the company were definitely just looking at, again, every single little thing to make sure that everything was perfect because it has to be. But for the movie front, I guess I wasn't as involved with films, but and like seeing that side of it. But it's very interesting to see what they come up with each year and what yeah, they're going to be doing. Yeah,
it's massive. I mean, I can't even imagine the size of the operation. It's just from top to bottom, it's incredibly done.
Yeah, so it's crazy, especially just how few people were even handling the TikTok page, but how many approvals everything has to go through, which makes sense. But starting at that role, I didn't know what it took to like get just a video approved or a story approved or something like that. So it's intense. It can be intense.
Yeah. Kind of wavering out of the Disney specifically, two questions for you. First of all, what's your favorite Disney movie?
Ooh, I would say Enchanted, the one with Amy Adams, because it goes from like animated film to then real life. And I just love Amy Adams in New York City.
That blew up too. Did that movie go crazy?
Yeah, it was like 2007 or something, but I still love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Second thing, kind of transitioning out of the Disney again, but from your experiences of where you're creating so much content, if only like 30% of it is getting used, that's not a lot, right? That's a lot that you're making that just goes into the abyss of nothing.
Yeah,
right. And so how do you deal with something like that? And how do you feel in a way that your work's validated, right? Like this is like, okay, I'm putting so much time into this work.
Yeah.
And then again, it does go into the abyss, but I'm being told that, no, you're doing a great job. Like seemingly there's a disconnect there, and I'm not saying that there is, but just mentally to some degree, your brain has to be like, this is bizarre, right? So how did you stay committed and motivated and then also transition yourself then to being like, you know what, I'm gonna do this on my own too in like a personal creator type of way?
Yeah, oh my gosh. I would say that I think the team that I was working with, like we all kind of had to get to that point of an understanding of like not everything's going to get approved, but that was a big like self-learning challenge, especially I think anyone who creates content or is in the social media space, like you kind of have to get over that it's not your work. Like each video that you make is of course like your baby on the inside and like, oh my gosh, I made this was my concept, this is what I created.
Yeah, it's what you send to the family group message. You're like, mom, dad, I did this.
Yeah, exactly. but you ultimately have to be like, it's not about me. It's not about like what I created. It's about like what's best for the channel at the time or whatever it is. But you just kind of have to get over like the fact of like it isn't about me personally and like my, I don't know, like creative vision. But it's really hard. And I still have like a hard time with that, like with certain criticism, like obviously not to the same degree. But when you're so passionate about something, it's really, really hard. And I've always said, like, with hard work, like, especially with me, like, my work ethic comes out of how passionate I am about a project or a thing that I'm doing. So when you're so passionate about something, so hard working towards a goal or a dream or to have a perfect video, it's really hard to not take things personally.
Yeah. Absolutely. When you've created, you've injected yourself into it the whole time, and then it's just like, oh, okay, that one didn't get picked again.
Yeah.
And then I would imagine it just keeps happening. I think there's also like from a numerical sense, we're taught from such a young age in grades in school, like the grades that you receive is what I'm trying to say, not like first, second, third, but like, right? Like I mean, 30% is not, no one's shooting for that. You know
what I'm saying? That's not good. So, you're not going fast.
As with anything, but I often think about this scene. Have you ever seen the movie War Dogs with Jonah Hill and Miles Teller?
No.
Okay, great movie, Heather Clement. Okay. For anyone watching with approval, it's a great movie. But long story short, so Jonah Hill is trying to sell Miles Teller, their characters, on this idea. He's a arms dealer for basically, and his main competitor is the U.S. government. So fictitious movie, but probably rooted in some reality. So Jonah Hill is basically telling Miles, like, hey, listen, everyone's out here fighting for the whole pie. Mm. He's like, I'm just fighting for the crumbs. Mm. And he said, and Miles looks at him sideways, and Jonah's like, you know, because the crumbs are enough. Mm. So when the pie is big enough, when Disney's pie is big enough on socials, like, I would imagine just having the crumbs is quite enough. So those times when you're the 30% of the time that your video is selected, it's like, that's enough to make, you know, to make such a...
Yeah, especially when you have a viral video or for it to go big.
Sure.
You're like, oh, I did it. Like, now I'm okay for, like, a little bit. But... Yeah, I think in any creative role too, that can be like a really difficult challenge, just to separate your actual work from your personal like passion. And that's tough when you work for a company and it's not like freelance or what you personally do.
As we before we transition more into you personally creating too, I had a question that I was thinking I meant to ask you. Did they ever incentivize you? Were there any incentives? Like if you had a video that did X, if you brought in X amount of followers, like, did you, as a team or individually, did you ever have incentive structures there?
That would have been fascinating.
Right?
It like, really would have.
Hey, you have a team of six. Like, if you guys can bring in 100,000 followers within, I don't know, whatever a realistic time span is for Disney.
Yeah. No, I would say that the incentive is you had a viral video. And you can kind of maybe go out with your team and be like, yay, we did it. But that's kind of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So, Christy, as we transition to your transitioning from all that you've taken in Disney to creating personally, when did you decide, okay, you know what, I could do this on my own too?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely started while at Disney doing just social with them. And I really started that, honestly, during my Disney college program, just posting more about just all of my experiences. And I just... Again, that was like a passion project of mine. So I just liked doing it. And along with a lot of my colleagues, we were all within social media. And I would say that I've found a ton of my friends just through Instagram DMs. So it's really fascinating how that works. But I don't know. I still do it. I still try and do social media, my personal stuff, you know, still now. But it was just really a passion project, and still is, I would say.
Yeah, so no vision of like, okay, I want to go and do this.
Oh my gosh.
Influencer style.
Yeah, I mean, definitely like there's been a ton of cool brand deals, events that I've gone to from my own personal page, especially like with Disney, like being able to then be on the influencer side of things and work with them in that capacity, or a brand that like does a Disney collab or something like that, and working with them through that has been really neat. And I would, the dream would be to do like freelance, either with content creation or, you know, my own page one day. So I would just say like for now it's a passion project, but you just have to keep posting and keep up with it, because that's how you're going to grow and get more of an audience and just authentically be you on those platforms too. So
what would you say to people who question the validity of it, right? Like I always push people. I'm like, I don't think people recognize essentially like the opportunities that can come from just posting content.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you see Emma Chamberlain, she started as a YouTuber. She's then interviewing people at the Met Gala. Like it can get you places. And I've gotten in rooms with other people that I would have never thought would have happened from, you know, followers on Instagram.
Yeah, let me just repeat that real quick. So Christy's saying, and let's not mince words here, that she has been put in rooms, so she's found a seat at a table that she would not have been in at all if it weren't for her Instagram. I just want, like I'm just putting that out there as concretely and clearly as possible.
Yeah, and I would even say the people that eventually got the role of being coordinators for the Disney TikTok, we were all Disney creators to some aspect, and you could just genuinely tell that we loved the parks and loved what we were going to be doing for the company as well, which kind of helped us there to get the job. But yeah, definitely. I mean, you get invited to these events, you get to interact and network with other influencers. And I mean, it's definitely weird because, I mean, everyone's Instagram feed is like their green grass, I guess you could say. And I think a lot of people see my life and think one thing when it's not probably. It's not always like perfect rainbows and Ferris wheels. But it's definitely cool to have a community. Like, I don't really like viewing social media, or especially like my personal account, as like, I have followers. Like, so many people, like, it's like such a community, especially within, once you find your niche, you can really find people who really enjoy and love the same things that you do. And I think that's the most important part, is like that connection piece with
the Disney
people.
Adults for you.
Yeah, no, literally, like I found so many friends through just posting on social media and like text every week still. Like it's pretty crazy how, you know, once you connect with your audience, you really find cool people.
Yeah, it's totally incredible. That's the gift of it, I think.
Yeah, and then for sure. That's the good part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, the Ember Chamberlain story is wild, just because like I think people undermine how truly effective it can be, and like mm-hmm. that there is a market out there for it, and that people need that. They'd be like companies, meaning need that. They need someone who is willing to put themselves out there and put themselves out there effectively.
For sure, yeah. And I think a lot of people are willing to do it. And I think a lot of people aren't willing to do it, like social media and just putting themselves out there. But you got to commit to the bit if you're going to do it, kind of thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
And people are going to make fun of you maybe if you start posting videos, if you start posting about whatever, a Disney event that you went to. But you just have to keep going, because eventually you are going to find your people that connect with you and your audience and your community. And once you find that, you're just going to start growing and growing and growing. But you have to keep putting yourself out there.
Yeah, and eventually it works for you too, right?
Yeah.
And you're making videos of Patrick Mahomes, and then they're just sitting at home making fun of you.
Right.
It's like, oh, wow, like, congrats, I guess.
Yeah, so.
Hats off to you. Like, I don't really know how that works.
Like, I really wish I would have started, like, a YouTube channel, like, sooner. Like, now you look back and you're like, oh, I should have done that. Like, look at these people who are, you know, this is their full-time job now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
Absolutely. And Christy, as we kind of transition here, there's a couple questions that I always run through. And the first one is, especially like in someone who's been, you've been kind of all over the place and have had a variety of experiences that are definitely unique to you. Do you look back at your life and see any times or any moments where you have a specific regret? And what did you take from it?
A regret.
Or regrets. I mean,
yeah. Well, the first one, I would say not starting a YouTube channel when I was 15, but that's not really big. I would say...
Again, also a note to anyone who's listening where it's like subtle nudge, right?
So. Yeah, for sure. Like, start now if you want, if you have a passion in anything like that. Sorry, this one's hard. Mm-hmm. I would say sometimes I do, I don't know, I was going to say sometimes I do regret leaving California, but also I think like at the time that was what I needed, was to come back home to Cleveland. But there's so many opportunities in California, obviously, and it's a beautiful area and I love it. But I think that if you start like looking at those regrets, you almost like I've thought in my head so many times, should I be living in California? Like, is that where I'm meant to be? But then I've just, you see opportunities where you like find opportunities or like try and look for opportunities. And then they start coming to you. So like even in Cleveland, it's a smaller city, but I think that there's so many more opportunities, honestly, for like smaller creators, smaller businesses. You just have more room to grow because it's not as saturated.
Right.
And so I started just viewing it that way, but also in the family aspect, like I was almost regretting in California not being with my family. So there's this tug and pull, I think, of a lot of people who don't really know where their home is or where they should necessarily be career-wise, especially. So that's always been like a tough one for me. But I think ultimately I'm kind of finding my home now here.
Yeah, you're getting in your groove. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There is always a tug and pull. You're so right. And I think, like, especially with the regret, I think then you fall on the rationale as to why you made the decision, right? Whatever the decision may be. And it's like, well, there's always that part of it, as opposed to what the hypothetical outcome could have been, that it would have been the regret.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, I mean, it depends on the regret, but you may have other regrets if you went a different way as well. So you'll never know, but you have to do what's right in that moment and, like, for that person, like, and also think of your future self a little bit as well.
Cleveland's glad to have you, so welcome back. Yeah, absolutely. Another question that I always ask is very simple, and it ties in because I contend that people who live gratefully, who have gratitude on their mind, on their hearts, and kind of act that out, have just better lives than people who do not. They're happier. What role does gratitude play in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say just reflecting on, like, actually, like, sitting down and reflecting on what you have, who you have in your life. Like, it's so important, I think, especially like people. Like, you have to treat your people like your parents and like your significant other, whoever you have in your life, like to just really look at that and look at what they've done for you or what you can do for them to like fill their cup like every single day, because it's, I don't know, you just, you have to be so grateful for like the people in your life, because that's one thing that I learned even living like across the country from my family. Like I was in the most beautiful spot in the world, I felt like, but I was like really upset at times. And I'm like, wow, I don't know if I ever realized how much people hadn't like a place in my life other than these other things, like where you're at, like location wise and such. So
yeah,
I would give that all to like your people.
Absolutely. Yeah. So on that totem pole, right, it's like the people in our relationships are definitely at the top.
Yeah.
I feel like, and just like that, there's innate gratitude when you describe the place as beautiful, but it's like even that doesn't amount to.
Yeah. Your relationships, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's just so important because people who are grateful tend to be reflective. And I think it's also important to be reflective because when we don't have introspective values, then all of a sudden we can become dangerous to ourselves and to everyone else.
For sure.
Like if we're just walking around not assuming that we're doing anything that needs thought about, then all of a sudden we could just go about and wreak havoc.
Right.
And that's yeah. frightening. Again, not deliberately, but just from the sake of not having that gratitude, not having that reflectiveness.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's something that literally this year I have been really trying to hone in on more, because it's so, so important. And especially just, I don't know, looking at what you have and really appreciating it, for sure.
That's wonderful. So I'm adding a new question to my litany, and it's starting with you today. So the third of the four questions, when you looking at your calendar coming up, what do you have to look forward to?
Oh, my calendar has been crazy.
You're like, I hate the calendar. Close it. Like, next question.
What do I have to look forward to? Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to New York City for Christmas with my mom. So super excited for that.
Actually over Christmas?
Yes. Not over Christmas, but in the month of December.
I've never seen
Rockefeller Tree or anything like that. So I'm excited for that. And then next year I'm going back to California for my best friend for her wedding. So just excited. Possibly Hawaii next year too. Like a lot of trips.
Okay.
So I'm excited to just travel more and experience new things that way.
That's tremendous. Yeah, I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
Christmas in New York is just, it's renowned, right?
Have you been?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to New York for the first time this year.
Oh,
awesome spot, but it was not during Christmas, obviously.
Yeah, so. Oh my gosh, no. New York is definitely, that's another place where I'm like, wow, that would be so cool to live there. But really cool spot.
And you get to go back, and then of course Hawaii.
My gosh. Maybe, we'll see. Okay. It's a maybe, but.
Yeah, I feel like it's so cool to always have something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's what's compelled me to add this question to my ending litany, because it's important to look back, like we just talked about, mm-hmm. and it's important to look forward and have something to look forward to, because sometimes in the day-to-day, right, like the days, right, as I guess the saying goes, the days go slow and the years go fast, but mm-hmm. when you have those concrete moments, Jesse Itzler, who's most well-known for making the rap about the New York Knicks, I would say, and then I was a speaker and a comedian, and but anyway, mm-hmm. Jesse Itzler always contends that you should have certain moments in each year that you can be like the defining moments of that mm-hmm. year. He's got a fancy word for it. You can look it up. I don't even know what it is. But the basic premise is if you can nail like, oh, in 2025, I went to my best friend's wedding in Cali and mm-hmm. I went to Hawaii. Like, you're never going to forget that.
No.
Right? You have concrete moments. So
yeah.
I think that like you probably know the year to the probably to the month when you started at Disney.
And right.
So these moments are defining mm-hmm. of a year at the least. And then, of course, when you magnify that out over a lifetime, then there's definitely a reason that we should be looking forward to something. So if there's not something on your calendar to the audience that you're looking forward to, perhaps do what you can to execute getting something on your calendar that you can look forward to.
Yeah, and even if it's not Hawaii or something like
that. No doubt.
Like literally if it's like, okay, this week I'm going to go to a coffee shop and like treat myself to like a muffin and a coffee and like maybe a good book. Like, that is what I'm looking forward to.
Heck yeah.
It can be something, like, small like that, because I think it's so important to have something to, like, not even, like, live for, but, like, to, like, look forward to and, have that.
Yeah, the highs and the lows are inevitable, so you might as well tap into the highs as much as you can.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, add to those, fuel those, give it the time of day.
For sure.
Christy, as we kind of wind down here, my closing question always is this. I open the floor to you to expand on anything that you want to offer, any piece of advice to either the audience abroad or a specific sect of people. Christy, take it away.
Okay. So I guess a piece of advice to any listener, no matter your age, would just be to continue to put yourself out there, continue to lean into your passions, and create what you're passionate about, whether that be videos or social media or something completely different, and just continue to have gratitude towards your people. I don't know. I'm like going on a tangent.
But, no, please.
Just like, I don't know. Just do what you're passionate about. Do what you love, and try and make that something that can be your everyday. And just, I don't know, keep creating and keep being you, and don't let other people tell you who you should be. So.
Okay. I love it. And may I push you? How does someone find said passion?
Okay. I would say that's like something that you do when someone doesn't tell you to do it. Like, yeah. So whether that's like working out, or whether that's just picking up your phone and like posting a TikTok video, but it's something, or cooking, but it's something that you like actively enjoy and you do without others being there or without others' eyes, I guess you could say, and just that you really feel like you just want to continue doing. And I think it's really hard for a lot of people to like keep doing something consistently. Yeah. Like I would say the consistency is the hardest part. And I found that a lot with just my freelance stuff with my own social media, but it's just consistency and like hopefully thinking that like you won't get bored of it, but also finding like your niche or community, because I think that really helps you stay consistent and wanting to post more and more, do whatever you love more and more.
That's tremendous. That's one of the best definitions I think I've ever heard for passion.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, great then. It's like, but seriously, like it's those things that you do when no one's forcing you to, right? When your boss or whomever isn't saying like, we need this.
Yeah.
That's so true, because if it's working out, there's, even if you don't love the act of working out, there's, you clearly have passion or value about the benefits from it.
Yeah.
You know, or the serenity and the strength that it brings to you. And you could just keep doing that for every last thing, for the food, same thing.
Yeah.
Like that's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that everyone has a passion. It's just a matter of finding it and trying new things.
That's it. And feeling the magic, right?
Feeling the magic, always.
Christy, this has been an absolute joy. I really appreciate you sharing your truly unique experiences with me and with all of us for episode 48 of Chats with Clark. Do you have any closing thoughts? Any last remarks?
I guess not. No.
I guess not. But you nailed it.
So. Yeah, watch a Disney movie tonight, maybe.
That's it. Enchanted.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 48 of the Chats with Clark podcast. Again, I'm your host, Joe Clark. I've been grateful to have this conversation with Christy McKenna here. All of her social media will be linked in the description below. If you're on the podcast and if you're on YouTube, you might find it in the description. You might find it in the pinned comments. I've been saying it now for 48 episodes. YouTube doesn't like me. It is what it is. So we're working on that. But you need to go check out all of that Christy has going. Definitely dive down the rabbit hole of her Disney endeavors and the experiences. And of course, follow along for more. If you haven't hit the subscribe button, I don't know what you're waiting on. Episode 49 is coming your way soon. Thanks for tuning in.